So I've been studying Filipino martial arts. Let's see, like 98. I've been training with my Taekwondo teachers back in Baltimore, and they're all Filipino. And I got my black belt, and I wanted to do some other things. I'd always seen them do like sick stuff, but you know, it was like younger, and I didn't know what it was about. And yeah. I grew up in Baltimore, so there's not a lot of Filipinos there. So I'd never really known too much about Filipino martial arts. But I don't know what it was, but then I started taking Eskrima, and then just doing a bunch of other things. Like, I started to train in, like, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai. This was, like, back in the day when, like, UFC first came out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then it was before The Hunted, but it was sometime around that time. I was interested in, like, knife fighting. So I started training in Dos Ipares and got into that. And then I myself found like a Sayo Kali instructor, and that was in the Sayo. This was like probably 2002, 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got married that year, moved out to LA, and that's when I started training with Gurdan in Osako.
Oh, okay.
So I've been with Gurdan and them ever since. And then a few years ago, I no longer continued my status as like a Sayo Atienza instructor. I really just focused on Inosanto method and Filipino martial arts.
Yeah.
But since that time, I mean, I've just been trying to meet other people, learn different things, and I feel like we're at a nice place, in my opinion, where a lot of the monos and people that came before us, like your maestro, Gurdan, you know, they put in the work and they've established the systems and the styles, and now we're at a place where people like yourself are like, I feel like doing a good job carrying it on, but not trying to be. You know, like I have a lot of classmates or whatever. None of us are trying to be Gurdan.
Right.
We're trying to take our own spin on the stuff that he does.
Yeah.
Where I have a lot of, people that I'm still very close with, but in the Sayok system, now that Monoton Sayok has passed away,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're doing a good job of carrying on the legacy.
Yeah.
Trying to promote the art that he built. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I had the chance to, you know, I just decided to reach out with you. I follow you on Instagram. I like the stuff that you put out.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate that.
So I just appreciate you taking the time to just chat about, you know, the stuff that you do. So
yeah,
I really don't
you.
Know anything about you other than, like, you have awesome footwork. And you've been representing Visaya and Puerto Cabana, I think, for a number of years.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just wanted to, you know, get to know a little bit about who you are and
for
like,
sure.
what the system is.
For sure. Oh, man. Well, thank you for reaching out, you know, and I'm always down to support fellow Filipino martial artists, practitioners, martial arts nerds like me, particularly, you know, especially in this age where it's like combat sports, televised combat sports is like super popular with UFC, MMA in general, which I love, but I don't want to lose the traditional stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And particularly our cultural thing, you know? Because very much like you, when I first started, didn't know much about my own martial arts, you know? Like, I was more impressed with, capoeira and then jiu-jitsu because of the MMA world. And then I met, you know, Maestro, and I was like, what? There's FMA? What is that? My martial arts? Art martial arts? I was just trying to buy Nike shoes and, you know, watch BET and shit and try to blend in American culture and black culture, you know. And then I learned about the art. And it just kind of like seeped in me and just wanted to continue to pursue it. And I found myself a little bit more, you know, even though I was born in the Philippines. I immigrated here when I was 10 years old, you know, and I like, it was just really about trying to get to America and American culture, you know. And then learning this, I got to learn about myself and how deep and rich our culture is, you know. And, you know, especially like now that the Filipino martial arts is getting bigger and more popular, you know, with all due respect to the other cultures, promoting our art, you know, is even more empowering to see my people, our people, continuing, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I just get the spread the art, you know, and just kind of leave it there, you know, like I'm not a cage fighter. I'm not trying to be a cage fighter. So, but I do feel like there's that balance between traditional and combat sports, and I found that middle ground, and I'm okay with that middle ground. And sometimes I'll compete, but not really a big. There's not a. I did it already, so it's not like there's an emptiness there, you know. So yeah, man, I just really appreciate you reaching out and following and supporting us. Yeah, and I had a question for you. I was like, is La Casa your own system, or are you, what is La Casa FMA?
La Casa is just the name of my group.
Oh, okay.
So when I was still teaching for Sayokan Atienza and Asanto, I was just trying to find like an entity to sort of like, you know, actually at one point I was thinking about like opening a school. And I've decided, at least for the moment, that I don't think I want to do that. As far as like the business aspect and, you know, all those things, like, I'm lucky that I have a job where I can, I'm a nurse. I never want to be, like, I never thought in my life I'd be a nurse. I never wanted to be like these other Filipinos that became a nurse. And then as the things turned out, you know, so I'm a nurse. And
You heal and cure other people, bro. We need that. We need that.
So I'm lucky that I get to teach and train in Filipino martial arts purely out of my love for it.
Yeah, awesome.
So with the school, that, who knows, maybe one day I may still do it, but for right now, it's just that La Casa. So the other thing is, I was born and raised in Baltimore. You know, like, Baltimore's, like, city's, like, 60, 70% black, mostly, like, white and black growing up, so I didn't know a lot about my own culture.
Exactly.
I really feel you when you said that, like, you kind of, like, found yourself.
Yeah.
But the thing is, my grandfather was a Philippine constabulary. He was killed after the war. He was killed by this, like, I don't know, I didn't grow up in the Philippines, and not that generation, but some people know of him. There was like this guy named Nardong Putik. He was like a, kind of like a Robin Hoodish figure, I guess. But anyway, my grandfather did a lot of like counterinsurgency stuff. And he had this like secret group called like Force X. So it's just like my name to try to like honor, you know, like roots in the Philippines. Struggles and legacy and warriorship that came before us.
Yeah.
But like yourself, you know, there's a huge, well, for me, I love the art of Philippine martial arts. I admire and respect the combat sports, the competition, the UFC, you know, like the hard, like fighting. I admire so much, and I think it's so cool, like the tactical side. You know, Sayo Kali is a tremendous, you know, tactical side.
Yeah.
But I've come to a place in my life where, like, man, I just like the art.
Yeah.
I like the movement. I like what it is for the culture, for me as a Filipino American.
Yeah.
So that's really where I have found myself. So if people want to learn tactical entries and how to carry gear and, you know, stuff like that. So many people I can refer them to.
Yeah.
If someone wants to compete and do like hard, you know, like whatever, Yao Yan, like kickboxing, like, you should go to these guys. If you just want to learn about like the movement and the art, and like happy to share all of that.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. I have a teacher who would always say like the truth is in the movement.
Mm.
And Guru Dan will always talk about how Kali is like a movement. An art of movement, and I see it so much, not just in your footwork, but in the whole system, and also in Maestro Sonny's, like, he has such a unique movement, and I think that's what a lot of people get drawn to it, so I'm so glad that you guys are putting out either this footage of yourself or footage of him, because I just feel like there's nothing else like it. There's some things that are maybe similar, but like, man, like nothing else like it.
Yeah, so, he moves like a spider, that guy.
Well, you know, I'm a martial arts nerd like yourself, so I've like, I watched like this, the Dog Brothers put out something on him before.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you know, there's some other thing I think that you shared, that he was like huge into like the dancing.
Yeah.
And also ahead of his time as far as filming himself.
Yeah,
so,
man.
That was.
It's ahead of the game, right there.
Super insightful on his part.
Yeah.
But like, before I start to ask you so much about him and the style in particular, but like, how did you meet him?
Yeah, all right. I'd love to start with that. I realized, before I continue, I think it's important for you to be recording, so maybe we should put this back here. So
I think it's okay. Because yeah? We're pretty similar to the microphone.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to get closer. All right. Okay, let's talk about origins, story, how I met Maestro Sunny. It's very intriguing story, actually. I was working as a young man at Berkeley, California, right at Telegraph Avenue, which is like the street that leads to the campus of Berkeley College, the University of California. So super like foot traffic, very live environment with college kids, and very beautiful and cute. I was younger at the time, hella college girls. I was like, hey, I work at a bagel shop, you know, like, because my path was different, you know, like right after high school, I didn't get to have the same access and knowledge about, you know, entering post-secondary success college until later in my life. So I was like, the concept of Filipino immigrant, just work, you know, right after high school, work. That's what I saw my dad and my mom do, work, 2-3 jobs. So that's what I was doing, working at a bagel shop. I was an assistant manager at another restaurant. I was a busboy at another restaurant. You know, I was like doing this multiple work, you know, just hustle like an immigrant, right? Because that's all I knew. I worked with my friends. Yeah, feel free to do that, bro. I was working with a bunch of my friends at the bagel shop. And also with Greg, Guru Greg, who's the other instructor with our system. He's like a few years younger than me. And he was actually my brother's best friend. They went to Oakland High School together, right up the street from here. And then, you know, he was wearing a Filipino shirt. And then this homeless Pinoy cat walked by. And he was like, oh, you guys Filipino? He had the Phillips Gray. Like, yeah, we're Filipino. And then he was like, you guys know Screamo? And it's like, what the hell is that, you know? And at the time, Greg was into, like, Wing Chun and Chuan Le Fat and these other Chinese martial arts. And I was, like, into capoeira. And then we were like, what the hell is Squiba, right? And then eventually he's like, you know, why don't you come and learn and train with me for some bagels, right? And me and Greg's like, dude, this homeless dude is trying to get over us.
Yeah.
Right. But we didn't care because we didn't have a lot of good integrity about our jobs, so we were just giving away bagels anyway to cute girls and stuff, right? So we were like, all right, let's do it. Right. He trained, had a little space at Cal Berkeley.
That was him?
No.
Oh, okay.
This was another dude, right? This was one of Sonny's students. And actually, this guy was in and out of the class. And I'll tell you more details in a little bit, but basically, Mario, who was his name, we called him Guru Mario, you know, became our friend, trained us, enlightened us, empowered us about this art. And we were like, what the heck? We didn't know about this stuff. But before we were training at this specific space, where we were training Filipino martial arts, there was already another group of Filipino martial artists that was there, you know, who became also our friend. Elric as another Filipino martial artist. I think he was a Serada practitioner at the time. He's really outspoken and very prominent in the FMA community now at Facebook. You know, he's one of our historians now, lives in the Philippines. But at the moment, he was teaching in Berkeley. We didn't really get to train with him. We just kind of knew and heard about him. So Mario would take us there on the days that Elric and his group weren't there. So it was already an existing Filipino martial arts group, very much like garage style, you know, like how FMA and our elders do it, right? So we would train there, and Mario would kind of train us and enlighten us about this art form and trade for bagels, food, sometimes cigarettes, even though we weren't like cigarette smokers ourselves, you know, or whatnot. But we were just kind of like in trade. We didn't have the money. We were younger. Greg was a teen. I was like in my early 20s, you know. So we just trained, and then eventually he was like, I want you guys to meet Maestro Sonny. I was like, what? This shit extends outside of you?
Yeah.
You know, at the same time, we're at home, we're looking it up, we're reading about the Filipino martial arts, and it's just like, holy smack, we have our own art.
Yeah.
And there's history behind it, right? So we were like kind of looking forward to meeting Maestro because we didn't care. We were youngsters. We would catch the bus or we would go and drive over to the city right across the bay. Well, not the island city. Right next to Oakland is Alameda. Very big Filipino-American community because it was a former, Alameda was a former military base. You know how it is. When there's military, there's Filipinos. You know where you're from, right? So at that time, the military base was starting to close, but there was these housing across the military, and that's where Sonny lived. We go in there, and I remember the first day, we knock at the door, and the door like opens slowly, and there's like smoke coming out the door, and it was Sonny's like, oh, Mario, hello. And he's like, oh, I got these guys I want you to meet, I told you about, you know, they can do low stances, et cetera, et cetera. And he kind of like looked at us, and it was a Sunday, you know, it's the only day he doesn't have any students, and you know, so we come in, he's like, okay, come in. We come in, and it's like swords all on the wall, you know, and this guy has this mystique about him, and he's very silent. He's a quiet guy, he's kind of a frail man, he's skinny, but he's kind of have these long limbs, you know, he looked like a spider, and he had this black leather bracelet on, and then, you know, and I think at the time he was watching videos of his students, and I come in and we seen it, and I was like, and I look at this video and I've never seen these movements. And I was like stuck on the TV for like a hot second and he goes and turns it off. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? So we just sit down, just really quiet, you know, very, and then all of a sudden all these memories of being a Filipino, of like being quiet and being humble when you enter someone's space, just kind of kicked in. And I just like, you know, just quiet, sat down and, you know, and then there are this relationship start to form. Maestro would just like show some stuff with Mario, and we wouldn't even get on the floor yet. We were just sitting down watching, and then later he would like show me what you got to Mario, right? And then we would just do our thing with Mario, and we were just like, we were just surprised, and he didn't even train with us. He was just Mario showing to him. It's like, oh, okay, nice, it's okay, you know. And we left, and all of a sudden there's this sense of curiosity that just opened up, and this felt of empowerment about this art, because as I learned it, I was learning the history, and learn about my culture and the history of the art of the resistance, you know. And at the same time, I'm evolving into becoming an educator, working in spaces, not as a classroom teacher, but you know, I would also be in classroom teaching, but I would be like educating the community in different spaces, from programs to classrooms to the community, yeah? So started to embrace my culture a little bit more and started to continue to train with Mario. So we weren't training with Sonny yet, but that was like a little teaser. So from then, we started to take our training with Mario more seriously a little bit more. And then all of a sudden, Mario disappeared. We're like, where the hell is Mario? Where the hell is Mario? And a few weeks go by, a month go by, we're like, where the hell is Mario? We need to continue this. I need this. And then eventually me and Greg was like, what's up? We're going to go see Sonny? Let's go see Sonny. So here we are, a bunch of youngsters, going back to Sonny's house. A little intimidated, a little scared a little bit. Bringing food as offering. Because that's the Filipino way, right? And at the same time, we didn't really have any money, and we didn't know how much we would pay this guy. We would see throughout these times these masters from different schools from all over the world come to his home to train with him.
Yeah.
And Maestro Sunny, unlike a lot of our amazing Filipino teachers who are now opening martial arts schools, he didn't have a school. His home was a school.
Yeah.
So it was a little different. You don't treat it like a commercial space.
Yeah.
Right? There's more humility. And later I found out that you can't even just come to Sunny's house. You got to be filtered.
Yeah.
Because there's so much arrogance and egos, and Sunny didn't want to deal with those kind of people.
Yeah.
So his students were filtered.
Yeah.
So I guess Mario was the filter for us.
Yeah.
Right? So we come to his house. We kind of explain, like, hey, have you seen Mario? He's like, Mario don't live here.
Yeah.
Have you seen Mario? It's like, we haven't. We've been looking for him, trying to train. Long story short, we realized that Mario, you know, had some challenges with his home situation. Also, he had some challenges with some of the substances that he was trying to face, some of the demons and some of the drugs that he was trying to face, you know, and you know, make himself a better human being, and but we wasn't around, you know, and then we'll hear stories about Mario. We'll train some other guys, some other guys that were not Filipino, that would then be seen walking around Berkeley kicking garbage cans, and you know, like the guys that we wouldn't really train with.
Yeah.
We still couldn't see Mario, whatever it was, you know, and then once in a while we'll see him, and his eyes will be bloodshot red, and like, but we'll just give him his space, because, you know, we know, because we're working in the same place that he's living around. So I was like, all right, Mario, whenever you're ready, man, we'll wait for you. We got bagels for you, you know, just like trying to entice him, to lure him. And once in a while he'll come. Jay, Greg, what's up, man? You guys want to train? You know, he'll have a backpack with all his shit, like his home in his backpack. They're like, all right, we'll see you over there. We'll pack some bagels, steal some juices for him, you know. Which is why we got fired by him. I mean, not that reason, but so anyway, we would just continue this trade, but it wasn't consistent. And then that continued, and Mario and Sunny was like, we come back to Sunny, like, we don't know where Sunny is, we don't know Mario is. Like, finally, he was like, all right, come on Sundays. All right, so we take us under his wing. Me and Greg, like a bunch of excited teenage boys, and like, shit, you know, let's go. Sundays became our day.
Yeah.
Sunday was the only one, the only day he was off.
Yeah.
Not training no one else. So he's training us on the day he's off. So super honored and blessed. Didn't know about it until later.
Yeah.
Right? I almost had the sense of entitlement and privilege, like, oh, now training with a master now, like. But I realized how blessed I was to even be in this space where he wasn't training anyone at his home, and he's not asking us for money.
Yeah.
Right? So years go by like this. All of a sudden, we fall into the Tuesday-Thursday cohort. He's like, all right, come Tuesday-Thursday. I'm like, what? You know, we're going to go. And then so we start training with this cohort of other martial artists, but decorated, right? One is like a Golden Gloves boxer, special military, African-American dude, super nice. This other one is like former Marine, sharpshooter, you know. Another one is a martial arts teacher at a different school, you know. So we got to know this cohort of men and women who were already in the art, and we fell into them, and we built that relationship with them. And from then on, man, I was it. We were just working with them and training with these folks, and established really positive and strong relationships with them. This generation, this cohort of group of people. Yeah, man. And then from then, the things that he wasn't doing with these different cohorts, because they probably didn't have the capacity or the movement to do it. He started doing it with them because of us. It's like, oh wow, these guys are flexible. These guys can drop to the ground. My first generation couldn't do that. My second generation had trouble. I'm gonna start to do it with this group. So, I mean, we weren't in the video yet. We were still in the back. There was two spaces, in the small space. You were either in the living room or you're in the back, in the garage. I mean, in the little small little yard. And we never graduated to the yard, you know, until a few years later. And I realized why by watching our videos. We were still kind of immature. And I would fast forward. I'm like, when does Sonny come in? When does Sonny come in? And there will be a 2-hour VHS tape that he will only come in for a fraction of maybe 2-3 minutes.
Wow.
And then I was like, that one. Yeah. And then later I found out, because like, we were not ready mature-wise.
Yeah.
We were still laughing. We're like, but he was, at the same time, he was building in maturity and repetitiveness and mileage. So that was that, man. And we got to just kind of got to know him, and then eventually we were this group, the cohort. So that's how we met Sonny. And from then on, you know, I would still give him, I would still make runs, because he loves soda, Coca-Cola. Go buy him some soda, I'll go bring him some food. I'll go buy him some cigarettes, which that was not the good way, but it was just a cultural thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to be honest, from a cultural perspective, it's always hard when you have this generational and, for lack of a better word, like a status kind of thing. You know, like, Pamana Tohon, as long as I knew him, was always a heavier guy. And like myself or like other people, and like lots of many Filipinos, you know, like a lot of us will battle the fact that like we love to eat. Filipino food may not always be the most healthy. And I think the same passion or desire that leads certain people to be like a good martial artist or a strong individual is also the same thing that we're like, well, I'm gonna live my life the way I wanna do it. No one's gonna tell me what to do.
Right.
And I'm certainly not trying to speak on behalf of Monotone or anything, but like, you know, like as much as he tried to watch his health and do a lot of things, you know, when we'd be with him, you know, it was similar because when I became an instructor, we would go to his home. And you couldn't just bring anybody into the home. Once a year we'd have these sama-samas, and it was also at his home. But you were not allowed to go in unless you had been sort of vetted already. Like, no, you couldn't just go in. And the instructors were sort of like the filter for that too. But you know, like any good host, when he'd be having us over, his wife, she like test, she'd make like whatever, you know, food, or they'd order, you know, like he, one of his homes is outside of Philly. We'd get cheesesteaks or whatever. And, you know, he'd love to eat. And I think some people probably, I know for sure, a lot of people would say to him in a very respectful or conscious way, like, you know, Tohon, you know, different things. And he knew.
Yeah, same
but,
for us.
But, you know, it's hard. Like, if, I don't know, we would go on these, like, fast food runs, you know, because it'd be instructors of the house. And we'd be like, oh, Joe, go out and take some guys with you, go do, like, a McDonald's run and get, like, whatever, like 20 Big Macs, you know, all these different things. So, we get it. We're excited. We're excited, too. But I know even with my own family, whether it's my grandfather, my uncles, whatever, it's a struggle in the Filipino community.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a problem with the fact that we're reverent towards our elders. I think that it's good.
Yeah.
I'm a manager where I work, and I have a lot of nurses that are under me. I only have like 2 Filipina nurses, and I have a feeling like if I was a manager in California here, I would have a hard time if I had to like discipline some like Tita or like Lola, that like, you know, I have a hard time with it.
Yeah.
But as a martial artist, it's so interesting because I don't know if Maestro Sonny ever met Pamana Tohon, or even if he ever met Gurudan, but you know, there's so many commonalities with our Filipino instructors, with our Filipino culture that comes through. I didn't grow up in the Philippines, but I feel the same kinds of things that you're talking about, like you have to bring something. In fact, Before I left Baltimore, I was like, oh man, what can I bring to like Guru Jay? Because it's like, make me time to do this. And I like forgot, and I was on my Uber on the way here. I was like, I don't have anything. And so
good. This is good right here.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, it's just so fascinating that there's so many commonalities.
Yeah. You know? And I think that's important that's part of our culture, that you mentioned that we respect our elders, right? Even though we might not agree with them fully.
Yes.
You know, like my mom and dad is different. I lecture them about their eating, right? But then I also know, like, I got to step back. That's my mom and my dad. They birthed me. I got to let them do what they do, right? But I'll insert my piece, but I won't force you to do nothing. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that's part of our culture, you know? However, you know, I mean, that's why Maestro Sonny passed away so soon because of unhealthy practices, right? And we miss him. Like, he passed away at an early age of 50-something.
Yeah, jeez.
So we miss him, and obviously we wanted him to be healthier, right? But we also knew that we were in that space to lecture him, or, you know what I mean? So for me particularly, and Greg as well, we're actually vegetarians, you know what I mean? So even though I wasn't trying to force him to do anything, I would be like, I'll bring him some vegetarian food. And he's like, ano to? I was like, ano po yan, curry with vegetarian chicken.
Yeah.
He's like, vegetarian chicken, he'll taste it. Like, he's like, but eventually he kind of grew into liking it,
yeah.
You know? But he never asked for it. He was just like,
yeah.
You know, when I bring it, he'll eat it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, aside from my personal practices, you know, I want to encourage my community to eat healthier, you know. Outside of Filipino martial arts, I am kind of an advocate around healthy eating, you know. I have another page around promoting healthy eating. I work with youth around healthy eating. And you know, for me also, it's like seeing, like, for example, jiu-jitsu, particularly the Gracies, right? Very, very prominent martial arts family.
Yeah.
Very popular, right? But also they have a Gracie lifestyle, you know?
Yeah.
And the Gracie lifestyle is like eating healthy, right? So for me, as a Filipino, so wearing the two hats of like an advocate for health, but also an advocate for Filipino martial arts and culture, I just wanna like, hey, how about encouraging our group of Filipino martial artists to really embody, you know, health as well. Like the Gracies, not like saying that we're trying to bite, that we're trying to like copy, but like, yo man, FMA is getting popular, and FMA is in our military and the police force, like, and our and out of the Pan Asian community, the Filipinos are the most unhealthiest, you know what I mean? The statistics and the data shows it, you know, and it all boils down to our food, and also not blaming our people, but also as being colonized people by the Spaniards and the Americans, you know, our food is influenced by them, so we start to look like them, you know what I mean? And if you look at the Pan-Asian, Chinese, Vietnamese, Thai, Japanese, you know, Japanese more culture started to, because they're embrace Western culture a little bit more. They also started struggling, you know, but out of the Pan Asian, I don't want to speak for other cultures, you know, we want our people to be healthier, right?
Yeah.
So even though, you know, at the time I would get him soda, in the back of my mind, I compartmentalized the two different worlds. Respecting my elder, at the same time, promoting health for my people, right? And I could blend them, but I know at the certain times I could respect them at where they're at. Now, I'm not going to go out there and preach. If anything, I'll let my actions be the model, right? So, yeah, definitely, you know, I appreciate our culture for what it is. I definitely want to encourage my people to be healthier, right? But I also respect our people and where we come from, you know what I mean? So I miss my maestro. I wish I could have probably encouraged him more. But we were there, man. We were like, yo, maestro, that's like your fifth cigarette in training.
Yeah.
We've been here an hour and a half, and that's your fifth cigarette, you know? But I'm not gonna, bro, I'm not gonna pretend I was like perfect, because once in a while, I'd be like, hey, just to fit in. I'd be like, I smoke a cigarette with you. You know, even though I didn't really.
Yeah. I mean, those things, I mean, those things are important too, for sort of like the camaraderie and the connection. You know what I mean? But you're talking about Philippines being colonized. It's true. I mean, if you look at the indigenous, well, I'm no Filipino food connoisseur, but like, if you look at the indigenous dishes, like tinapay or, you know, like any kind of like soup, watery soup or broth or like fish dish, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
You know, there's like vegetables. I mean, there's usually like pork or something. But you know, the other whole other side of Filipino that I also love probably more is the like longanisa, tocino, spam, you know, like Vienna sausage. You know, those things that like came through because that was like surplus food for like these American soldiers or whatever. And I mean, it's ingenious that Filipinos brought that in and make like the like sopa soup from like the macaroni and all these. Like, that's a great example of that. But you're right, it's not like, you know, when I, if you look at like Vietnamese food or Taiwanese food, taking away their colonized stuff too, because like the banh mi has the bread and stuff. But if you look at the pho, like the Taiwan has like this beef noodle soup or something. You know, all of it's like similar. It's fairly healthy.
Yeah.
And if you look at the provinces where people are too poor to even buy like corned beef or whatever,
animal products.
I mean, they're actually, to me, they seem like they're, now there's health things for other reasons.
Right.
But you know, it's a struggle because we're a product of so many evolutions of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not too, I certainly respect it. I am not 100% on trying to remove all the influences.
Yeah, totally.
But at the same time, it's important for any of us, especially the younger generation, to recognize, you know, our culture. Actually, which leads me to something else. I saw that you were teaching this like a sama-sama like cultural program.
Yeah.
And my wife and I, with some friends, we do that too. We're in our third year. We only do it quarterly. It's not every week or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's so important for us that they get to see, like, here's some Filipino food. Here's always martial arts. And I'm trying to bring in other systems.
Yeah,
styles.
Yeah.
Here's some dances. And not just these kinds of dances, but there's other dances too.
Yeah.
We brought in a friend of mine now that I was able to make. She's on Instagram too, but she does like Filipino tattooing.
Yeah.
And we have these kids learn, like, it's more than just the Barong Tagalog and all these other things.
Yes.
Like, there was something before that.
Yes.
And there's, tinikling is awesome, but there's dances before that.
Yes.
And, you know, whatever, like, great that you do MMA or whatever it is, but like, we have this like Filipino martial arts before. We have our own thing too.
Yeah.
Not necessarily better.
Right.
But you should know that there's that too.
It's important, man, and I think I'm glad that you're doing that. I just finished our summer sama-sama cultural program. They invited me to be one of their lead teachers. I get to do the I get to do the Filipino martial arts. I get to do a Filipino vegan cooking program.
Oh, man,
yeah, and I get to, you know, teach and do some baybayin and like history and culture. Man, they welcome me and they like, dude, teach everything you know, and I'm like, bro, this is like a dream, you know?
Yeah.
But you're right, man. It's like, it's important to know that our people are ingenious and we're willing to adapt to the time, but it's also important to know outside of that colonial period only. There's something deeper, right? And to expose our kids and our culture, our people to everything, from the Japanese to the American to the Spanish, to the indigenous, you know, and FMA was original. FMA is original MMA, you know, with the swords and the grappling, and you know, our food. We had to, you know, because of the military, we integrated their food, but we were also eating closer to the land and the sea, right? So those kind of things are really, really valuable for young people to know. That way they can they know the depth and the richness of their culture, you know, and that's what makes Filipinos amazing, because we got all that, you know. We're like, in the south we look black, in the middle we look Chinese, you know, we got some diesel that look hapa, you mix, you know what I mean.
And I think that's a great thing to embrace, yeah. Right? And connecting that to the Filipino martial arts, I think important is our story of resistance,
yeah.
Right? Like before it was Kriman or Kali, it's like Magellan in the American history books saying circumnavigated the world. That's not true.
Yeah.
Magellan got stopped in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Magellan, brought in colonization and a lot of negative things to our people, because it was the Philippine martial arts that was a highly civil, pronounced art system that stopped him.
Yeah.
You know, he came in there thinking that he was gonna civilize a bunch of monkeys.
Yeah.
Nah, bro, we are come from Datus and Rajas.
Yeah.
We come from civilized communities, you know what I mean? You can't just push us around like that.
Yeah.
So that story of resistance is very important,
yeah,
to tell our young people. Yes, we also fought along Americans and against the Japanese. Yes, our Manongs fought for the American independence in America and worked the fields. That's also all important.
Yeah.
So it's really important to thread everything together so our young people can choose, right?
Yeah.
But the Philippine martial arts is important because, you know, especially as Asian culture, and part of the Asian culture, you know, being Filipinos, along with the other Asians, being emasculated or effeminated, especially during those colonized period, you know, and Americans were the heroes, and it kind of hid our people.
Yeah.
Underneath.
Yeah.
So it's important that we resisted, and it's important to know that Filipino martial arts were not just men but women as well.
Yes.
So it empowers our women, you know. So that's and we used it for resistance, and the women used it to integrate it with the dances to hide it from the colonial masters.
Yeah.
You know, like all that stuff makes Filipino martial arts even more richer. You know,
yes.
So for me, instead of like buying Nike shoes and just, you know, want to learn capoeira or Wing Chun, then it made me like, oh shit, look at our shit, look at our people stuff. I could still enjoy capoeira, Wing Chun, jiu-jitsu. I could still enjoy it, but now I'm even grounded even more because of what about my art, right? So Sunny and Maestro Sunny and FMA and Design Style did that for me.
Yeah.
You know, it enriched me even more as an educator, right? And now here comes Sunny, who kind of like brings a different version of FMA. Because as soon as I learned about FMA from him, I started looking up FMA.
Yeah.
And then FMA was like, oh snap, it's rich, but they look different. You know, and when I learn about the history of when our elders trying to expose FMA into the bigger world, they had to make it look like Japanese arts.
Yeah.
You know, because so it's digestible for a Western culture, but we also have different movements, right? So when Sunny brought in this system, I was super intrigued, particularly this movement.
Yeah.
And then when I looked at other FMA systems, they didn't look like Sunny. You know, I respected them, and I was still honoring, and I still was in awe of all of the other systems, but I felt like I found a gem.
Yeah.
I found this gem. Like, why does this look different?
Yeah.
You know, why does this look different? You know, so then I started trying to go in deeper.
Yeah.
Then that's when I started learning more about Sunny and what his influence.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Guru Dan has always said that the FMA guys, you know, without getting into like the politics of the terminology and stuff like that, you know, they were the ones that preserved a lot of those cultures. Like, it was the people that, you know, the Kali teachers or the Eskrima masters, they're the ones that sort of protected the Babayan and the many other scripts or the dances, and maybe they had to hide it. But it's not just that FMA is connected, it's like deeply connected, because without those people, parts of our culture might have, and some of it has already been completely erased.
Yeah.
But what we still have, some of it was protected because of people in the various forms, whether they were literally battling on Mactan and, you know, stopping invaders, or whether they're teaching Babayan in secret and they're using it in their patterns.
Yeah.
You know, it's great for people like, I've never met him, but I'd love to meet like Christian Kabuai and all these
people. Yeah, yeah, they're out here, yeah.
But for many, many years from like pre-colonial times till now,
right,
a lot of it was hidden by these
martial artists that still had like the traditional garb or the practices,
yeah,
terminology, or even the food or the music or any of those things.
So
I completely agree with you. I guess sort of like as we start to wrap up, when I see you or footage of Maestro Sunny, like what you said, the movement is so unique and captivating.
Yeah.
But how would you describe the system? Like, what are the characteristics that really make the system what it is?
Yeah. Aside from Sunny's influence with dance, right? And again, Bruce Lee was a cha-cha dance, yeah, champion. Maestro Sunny was a champion in the hustle, right? And I think he mentioned that in his movie. Aside from the dance influence, Maestro Sunny would tell us stories about him visiting family members in the southern parts of the Philippines, in the Mindanao area, and watching and learning a little bit from some of those Muslim practitioners, and being influenced by Moro, which is the southern parts, right? And again, we never claim that we're Moro have style, you know, because we have a lot of brothers and sisters in that community that are propagating that particular system.
Yeah.
And we don't want to be like the colonizers and step on their toes and say, like, you know, we want them to thrive. So we honor them by saying, yeah, we're influenced by them. And I'm going to be transparent. You know, I have a couple of Moro instructors that came up to me. He's like, yo, what's up? That's a Moro. I was like, no, but it's influenced.
Yeah.
You know, and we want to respect you.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so I want to be able to identify that and be precise. But Sunny brought his own thing to the game, you know, and I think his body type, his movement with dance, his learning from the southern Philippines, are part of what helped the movement become what it is.
Yeah.
Right. And then of course me and Greg and this next generation add our own flavor to it. Right. As much as I want to say, of course it's Sunny. Of course. That's my base foundation. But he gave me permission to kind of add on my own thing. But I'm not gonna say, and I maybe later in the future, but not now. I'm not gonna say that's me. But I'm gonna say, yo, this is our system.
Yeah.
Right. So some of the characteristics will probably be the movement of influenced by other systems, and you know, and the southern parts of the Philippines, FMA as a whole, man, is like hip hop. You know, it's like influenced by the Chinese, the Japanese, the Indonesians. You know, and I was reading an article, it even traces down all the way down to, you know, and there's some of the history of, aside from Indonesia, even southern, even towards Africa.
Yeah.
You know? And if we believe in the idea of all people come from one place and one people, then FMA is influenced by all of it.
Yeah.
You know? That's why I say it's like hip hop, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the best of our world.
Yeah.
So Sunny kind of integrated what he learned from all of the systems, including the people from our brothers and sisters from the south, including from his influence from dance, right? And I think you know, aside from his work with the sword and the blade, which I feel is also very different from other systems, similar but also has its own flavor. You know, I would just say movement and music, because he's also a musician.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there's other martial arts masters out there that are musicians and are dancers, and they look different, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there's a different way that they gauge timing and rhythm.
Yes.
And navigate space when you're a movement artist. When you're a martial artist, you're also a movement artist. And you navigate space, rhythm, and timing differently, right? So, I don't know if there's one thing I could point at, bro, but I think I could say those few things.
Yeah. For you personally, whether it's with your martial arts practice or just in life, what do you think is, it's probably many things, but what do you think is one thing that was like the very impactful that you got from Maestro Sunny?
Definitely, one would be his character. in my martial arts. Silent, stealth, not overtly braggadocious, observant, and his ability to translate things, and his ability to not force an agenda, but sometimes organically come up with something new based on what he sees.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm playing around, being silly.
Yeah.
Because I was younger, doing something influenced by him. And I'm just kind of playfully doing it with Greg and his sense of playfulness.
Yeah.
And he'll be serious because this guy is serious as fuck.
Yeah.
But he'll see me and Greg being playful and he'll encourage it.
Yeah.
And then when he see me do something that I... He'll then say, oh, try this out.
Yeah.
So instead of coming in there with like a solid agenda, he's like, oh, that looks good. Let's mess around with that more. And then we'll come back next week and we're focusing a class on that. And I'm like, wait a minute, we did this last week. I was just watching a video. Then I feel a little arrogant, like, oh, hey, yeah, he's influenced by me now, you know, because I'm younger. But it's like his style of leadership and his style of being an instructor was very fluid. It wasn't just one thing, right? So I kind of embraced those characters. In terms of actual movement, is just the way he moves, man, and his the way he does it slowly. And a lot of the cohort martial artists that are also teachers and instructors are also internal martial artists.
Yeah.
Tai Chi, Yi Xi, you know, all of this internal martial arts, Bagua.
Yeah.
They look at Sonny like, you know what? Sonny's an internal martial artist.
Yeah.
He might not say it, but he is. The way I observe him, and they've been teaching for years.
Yeah.
Tai Chi masters, they're like, is the way he utilizes this inner part of the body, and the way he contracts and extracts, the way he extends the flow, the way he, so it's not just like a lot of our FMAs, because are influenced by the Japanese arts, the Japanese arts, we tend to have a strong stance, strong, stable. We have that.
Yeah.
But there's also this fluidity of leaving the strong stableness and being fluid, and it's vulnerable, but there's power in that vulnerability.
Yeah.
And you know, like Manny Pacquiao was criticized for his footwork.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, all of the boxing textbook boxers.
Yeah.
They're like, Manny is not, you know, it's different, it's unique.
Yeah.
And when I watch Manny and I think about Sonny, and I see a lot of similarities, you know. So there's a lot of uniqueness in FMA, including this movement, this pendulum, that you're vulnerable, man. You better watch out. You might get pegged when you put your feet together.
Yeah.
But when do you do that?
Yeah.
When is that timing? How do you step out of it? And if you look at Manny, even though he's not perfect, if you look at his footwork, man, that's why he's unique. That's why he's different.
Yeah.
That why is he the only 8-time?
Yeah.
You know, why is he this 41-year-old not, you know, fighting these 20-year-old undefeated champions?
Yeah.
Why is he unique as a Filipino master? He's a master, bro.
Yeah.
Manny Pacquiao is a grandmaster. But we say, oh, it's boxing. But boxing, Western boxing, is influenced by Filipino martial arts. When they brought boxing to the Philippines, the head movement, the arms getting to the wide out, this is boxing, this, you know? But now all of a sudden, but no one ever says that, you know?
Right.
Boxing is influenced by FMA, bro. Like, so if there's anything I take from Sonny, aside from the characteristic, his character is his motion, his ability to control, or in boxing, ring generalship. His ability to move things around.
Yeah.
His ability to break down movement.
Yeah.
That, to me, was my gem,
my
treasure. And now I can look at boxing, and I can look at MMA, and I can articulate it based on my particular art, you know?
That's beautiful.
You know?
But, you know, the thing, too, that you said about slowness, you mentioned that he can do it slow. You know, Gurdan has said, like, don't hide your don't make up for your lack of skill, basically, with speed.
By speed.
Yeah. And to be able to do things slow and have control, you know, to be able to, like, we'll talk about, like, you know, feel every movement. And it's so important, just in general. So I love the fact that, you know, I never trained with Maestro Sunny. I've never met you. I've never taken any classes. But there's so many commonalities.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the last thing as we wrap up, you know, people want to learn more about the system. They want to learn more about you or train with you. Do you have regular classes? Are your classes open? I know that you travel to teach,
yeah.
But is that something that, you know, because I'm thinking about this too, like, man, I could bring out Guru Jay to, like, do some, like, training for my group, and then also come for the cultural school. Are those things that you do? Or,
yes, sir, man. There's actually some gentlemen in your area, Maryland. I forget the brother's name. There's two brothers, and Ron Nelson, African-American brother.
Yeah.
There's two brothers out there. Not the Apollo and not those gentlemen, which I'm amazed by the way, and I love what they're doing. Not Tuhan, but these other two gentlemen in Maryland, they're trying to coordinate to bringing me out.
Oh yeah, are they Filipino?
Yeah. Filipino martial artists. I'm gonna connect you with them.
Are they twins?
Yes.
Yes. I, you know what? They're so close to me. I've told them many times, like, I'm gonna try. I'm gonna stop by the school. I just want to, like, meet you, you know, like, connect or whatever. But I'll let them know. Because
yeah, I would. If you guys could combine your forces together, bro, I would love to come out and visit you guys and share what I know. Yeah. I teach on Saturdays right across the street here, actually, right next street. I canceled today class because I wanted to do this podcast with you, and I'm going to Barcelona to do a seminar and possibly in Nottingham with a small group of people. I'm like you. I have a daytime job, but this is my love, my passion. I want to continue it. I think maybe in the future, maybe I'll go more full-time as I transition, but there's other passions that I do with working with youth, working with food.
Yeah.
But I'm like Sama, the program, I get to blend them all.
Yeah.
So as long as I get to blend it and I got to bring my culture, man, I would love to do it. So yeah, man, Visayan Scrima is our Instagram. Visayan Style Corto Cadena is our Facebook. They can follow us there. But yeah, I love to travel and to talk to my fellow Filipinos and share what I know. I think that's another passion that I like to do, continuing that legacy that way. If folks can't come to me, I'm down to come to you, you know, especially during the summer times when I'm not teaching in the high school that I teach at. So yeah, those are some places where I can be reached out. I'm starting also a Patreon account and teaching online.
Yeah.
That way I can continue a community online so I can build the community, because a lot of folks want to learn the system, man.
Yeah.
And me and my he's like my brother Greg. There's other instructors in our system. They're pushing us, like, yo, do it. A lot of people want to learn it. Do it.
Yeah.
It's just because we're busy with other arts, but we don't want the art to die.
Yeah.
So we're teaching our community that accesses us in our local community, and they're like, yo, that's a gem, we want you.
Yeah.
But part of my payback to Sunny, because I never paid him, you know, in his deathbed, it was like, I didn't say it articulated in those words, but he knew, because of what I was already doing, he knew what I was doing, he wanted me to continue it, was my payback for him is continuing to art. Sharing what I know with other people. Another characteristic that I loved about Maestro Sunny, it wasn't like the other generational martial arts, the politics around our style is better than their style. Sunny was always about, if our stuff help other people's stuff, then give it to them. Let them have it as well. You know? My whole thing is like, hey, it would be great if they shout out where it comes from, but because of where we're at in this world, maybe they won't. But that's okay.
Yeah.
What I will do is we'll just continue our work, push our work, bring Sonny's name into it, even though he's not away, he's physically not in this world. Bring his name, keep him alive, keep the art alive. If we grow, we'll grow.
Yeah.
If other people want to learn from it, great.
Yeah.
It'll be great if they give a shout out to where they learn it. All good. If they don't, all good too, man. We're just gonna keep pushing it. If there's martial arts nerds that want to know, they'll go deep, they'll find us. They'll find us online, whatnot. And we get critics, yo, that shit is dancing. Well, that is not real. That's cool, because their level's not there yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sunny is like, we consider Sunny as the graduate, the master's program, the graduate program of FMA. You know what I mean? And we are the holders of that.
Yeah.
You know, we're the professors of it, right?
Yeah.
So for lack of better words. But we don't go around walking around with those titles.
Yeah.
We don't even like using the word guru.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we only use that because in this world, we need, you know, we don't want people to also say that they're from this style, but like do it in a way that's not appropriate.
Yeah.
So we'll use those terms,
yeah,
those titles only for outside of that world. Otherwise, man, call me Jay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're brothers. I don't, you know, if you see me as a guru, great. If you see me as a brother, better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That way, because that's the old Filipino way,
yeah,
you know? Like,
yeah,
they were training in chinelas, you know
yeah
what I mean? And their ancestors did it because their ancestors were oppressed,
yeah,
you know? So they had to come up with it.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I love about our culture as a whole. I do want to go back to your second question before the final question is like, what other thing about him is the slow movement, the finesse, the accuracy.
Yeah.
Accuracy, accuracy, accuracy. And the accuracy comes from the blade culture. He's like, I don't care how fast you do it.
Yeah.
I don't care how powerful you are. In this space, I want accuracy. When you're touching the point, touching. You know how we do all of the, you know, defanging the snake? Sunny was like, no, I want you to touch the wrist, the elbow, the shoulder. I don't want you to touch the forearm. He's like, when people see us, they'll identify how advanced we are by accuracy. And if you need to go slow, go slow. But I want you to touch the wrist, the elbow, the shoulder. You know, because, and then you do that with the blade as well. So that's why Sunny is, aside from his movement, his accuracy in his sword. You know, because it's not just like doing this.
Yeah.
Anyone can hide it by being fast.
Yeah.
But if you do it, you are accurate to the point, anyone who is advanced can look and say, that shit's the real deal.
Yeah.
Because
yeah
that shit's accurate,
yeah,
you know? So that's what I teach my students. Accurate, be fine at the point.
Yeah.
You know, and one thing that always stay in my mind when I teach this to my students is like, when the Spanish colonizers came, they had armor. Those armors were made out of these metal or whatever it was. But the Filipinos had to be ingenious. They didn't have the same armor. So what did they target? The folding hinges, the weak points, the openings, the wrists. They didn't have armor there. Slide your blade there. The elbow, they didn't have armor there. Slide your blade there. The shoulder, that was opening, slide your blade there. The neck, behind the knee, the ankle, slide your blade there. So in practice, we don't always do this shit. I get mad at my students. And when I have students that are coming from other systems, I say, I respect your other system, but I want you to unlearn some of that stuff. And I want you to relearn some of this stuff. Continue that, but when you're in this space, I want you to have this. I challenge them, can you do that? Cool. So those are some of the things that I kind of take away from Sunny and how it embodies me and how I show it is an influence of all around. And also as an educator, doing my own research, I'm hella inspired by Guru Dan, how he does it. I think I'm like that more, you know. I like teaching the tactical guys as well. I might not attract all the tactical guys because I'm more of the cultural slash working with the youth,
yeah,
and I'm okay with that.
Because yeah
sometimes some of the different communities that I might attract might be not the people that I want to work with,
yeah,
and I'm okay with that. I don't have a, you know, and I tell my students, like, if you're gonna bring something to me, like Sunny, filter them first, please.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, I can't think of a better way to finish up. So again, I appreciate, you know, you make the time this morning. I know you're busy. Appreciate all the work that you're doing. You know, I'll definitely connect with you know, those guys in Maryland.
Yeah, I connect them. I'm sorry, I'm slipping their mind, their names right
too
now. Yeah, but they're awesome dudes.
Yeah.
Very passionate.
Yeah, and I think they have I get the vibe that they're on a similar thing. Like, I like how a lot of us are trying to connect with other people, trying to spread the art and expand the community. I, I'm not so interested in saying like we're the best or whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Again, thank you. And
we're the best, bro.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing is what's cool. It's like, you know what? All the systems are dope, and I learned this from Maestro Sunny and also this other grandmaster that grandmaster Robert Castro Scabodon. I want to give him a shout out because I come to him. He's similar to Sunny in terms of like, yo, everybody's tight.
Yeah.
And he welcomes me to his school, and he lets me teach. And I'm like, yo, I don't want to invade your space. Like, no, I want you to be here. Sunny's amazing. I want you to touch WAD system.
Yeah.
So FMA as a whole, we're amazing, bro. So I think one thing that in our generation now is that generation. Let's start bridging people together because of the colonial and the trauma that our elders had to go through. We had to kind of be defensive. We have to protect ours.
Yep.
But now we're past that, and let's heal the trauma by bringing all our peoples together, regardless of the systems.
Yeah. All right, brother.
Joe, you're amazing, man. Yeah. Thanks for making time for me.